Hey, everybody, happy Monday. I take your questions as well as some questions I got at a live event. We just got hours until we're going to know the future of our republic. Will our country commit suicide, or will we go on a path to prosperity, greatness, and back to American exceptionalism? Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. We are not sleeping. We are traveling the country. We are communicating to new voters every single day, young people, and this is made possible when you support us at charliekirk.com/support. It's Monday. I'm taking your questions. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. It is the final push when you are listening to this podcast. It might be the day before the election or the day of the election. So let me just start by saying, go vote. And if you have not yet voted, then you need to make a plan to go vote on election day. Or if you are in the panhandle of Florida, I hear that some of your polling places might be open. And if you are just sitting at home worrying, saying, what can I do to help save the republic? Take out your cell phone and become a digital door-knocking machine. Text every single person in your phone a message of why you're supporting President Trump. Copy-paste it and empty your entire phone. My phone, right here, has... how many contacts do you think my phone has? 100, 200, 8,434 contacts. All of them will receive a message from me on why I'm supporting President Trump. The people that are already voting, they need to hear and see the grassroots push that we are building. The people that are on the fence, they trust you to do it. We have just surpassed our 100 millionth download here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Praise God. Every one of these episodes is heard by tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of individual people. What if every single person listening to this took out their phone and texted at least, let's just say, 200 people? Come up with a message, your favorite, most compelling argument to vote for Trump, and you copy-paste it piece by piece. Peer-to-peer text message your entire phone. If every person listening to this right now did that, it would be a grassroots wave that the Silicon Valley censors cannot get in the way of. So I'm going to get into one of the first questions here, and every person who gets selected for a question wins a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. And I pray that the MAGA Doctrine will still be in the White House after Tuesday. I pray. And some of you might be listening to this on Wednesday, and you might know something that I don't know as I'm recording this right now. And so as we are recording this episode, we stay prayerful, we stay focused, and we are working. We are in North Carolina right now, doing events all across the state. We were in Raleigh, now we're in Asheboro, we'll be in Asheville, and then we are going to finish off in Western Michigan in Grand Rapids. So people are asking, what is the state of the race? What is going on? Who's going to win? Well, here's what I can tell you, is that late on Saturday evening, a poll came out that shocked the entire polling world. President Donald Trump was shown to be up in many polls in Iowa. And then the Des Moines Register poll, which is considered to be the gold standard of Iowa polling, came out to show Donald Trump up 7 points in Iowa. 7 points. Now, the significance of this is that the polls prior were showing Joe Biden by 4, according to the WHO TV 13. New York Times Siena had Joe Biden by 3. And then in a couple days, massive movement. This poll was really driven by Joe Biden hitting a ceiling at 41%, Donald Trump at 47%, and independents breaking Donald Trump's way in record numbers. As we are making this episode right here, right now, before taking the stage to another event in North Carolina, as we are barnstorming the country trying to get this president reelected, we have given over 120 speeches across the country in just the last 90 days, not including the 2 podcasts a day, the 2 hours of radio, and all the other work we do at Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. We are working very, very hard. And I can tell you, through all the work that we have been doing, we have been waiting for this moment to come. At Turning Point Action, we've been on the ground. We've knocked on hundreds of thousands of doors, and we've heard all sorts of reactions about where people stand on the president and where they think things are going. And I can tell you that there was a break about a week ago where we started to see things trend positively in the president's direction. The president started to take a significant, not just a lead, but started to show separation speed in the grassroots work we were doing.
So the state of the race is this, is that things are trending very positively in the president's direction. Despite what the pundits, the prognosticators, and the political elite will tell you, the last couple days heading into an election are more important than any other days in the entire election. If you look at the size of the crowds, you look at the closing arguments, you look at the story that President Trump is trying to tell, reopen America. We're going to be brave. We're going to be wise. We're going to tackle this virus by not just blindly following the scientists, but trusting the American people and protecting their liberty. The president is saying that church is essential, that we will not indoctrinate our children, that we will make our kids love America again. Joe Biden's message is that we're heading for a dark winter as Joe Biden speaks some sort of form of gibberish pig Latin while a bunch of people are honking car horns at him. Now, Joe Biden could still win. I'm going to tell you right now that Joe Biden could end up winning this election. In order for Joe Biden to win, he'd have to win 75% of the suburban vote. The rurals would not have to show up. And the urban centers are going to have to show up in massive numbers and huge support. And Joe Biden would have to win a good amount of the muscular class in this country. That's all very possible. Nate Silver from 538 blog gives President Donald Trump's chances of winning at 10%. He thinks that Joe Biden has a 90% chance of winning. I would not handicap the odds that way at all. And I can tell you on the ground, I have never seen the president's base as enthused. I've never seen Republicans as united in concert, in harmony, to get President Trump elected. I can tell you confidently that President Donald Trump will at least make this race close. And if not, I'll be the first one to admit that I was wrong. We are seeing every single poll tighten. We are seeing every single leading metric go in the favorable direction. So I have to now head on stage in North Carolina, and we will do the remainder of this Ask Me Anything episode from some of the questions that I have received from the front lines here at this event that I'm about to do. Next week, we'll be back with our regular Ask Me Anything episode. So please continue to email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. But my biggest ask is this. Text every single one of your friends right now. Text. If you text your entire phone while you're voting for Trump, if every single person listening to this did that, millions of people would be reached with a direct peer-to-peer message of why we need to reelect President Trump. It's time to get this done, everyone. President Trump has given us 300 federal judges, Amy Coney Barrett, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, the largest middle-class tax cut in American history, the embassies in Jerusalem, the Golan Heights are recognized. We have the best economy in American history. He is clamping down on child sex trafficking. He's building the southern border wall. He is fighting institutional political corruption. And most importantly, he's restoring faith and hope in the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. I pray that you guys continue to hold the line for President Trump. We need to show up in record numbers, more so than ever before, to reelect this president. And it's on us. It's on us to lean in, to mobilize the vote, and to get President Trump reelected. All right, I have to take the stage, everybody. God bless. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Here's a, there's a lot of great questions here. Yeah, no. Number four, what do you make of the trend of neo-Marxism taking root in the church? And what is your favorite and most effective way to disabuse people of, great vocabulary, people of the notion that those ideas are more in line with Christian theology and the ideas of liberty, freedom, capitalism, etc.? So, yeah, I mean, that's, Rob, you can start with it, but.
Okay.
I could start with it.
I'll just do, I have that one thing. I'll do.
You do your one thing and then
yeah,
I'll, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a one-trick pony and he's memorized everything I said. Socialism is a violation of two of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not covet. And socialism is destructive because it appeals to the sinful nature of man. And that's why they're drawn to it. They envy, they want your stuff. And Margaret Sanger said, socialism only works until you run out of the other person's money.
Maggie Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher, what'd I say?
Margaret Sanger, that's the Planned Parenthood woman.
Yeah. Well, I had that other thing in my head. So, yeah, she's terrible. So you're in class, you're getting an A because you study and you work your tail off. You're getting an F because you don't do squat. but we're going to make you equal. And I'm going to take two grades from you and give them to you. So we're going to bring you up to a C, and you're going to have a C, and we're going to be equal. Well, what's going to happen is next time you're not going to study as hard. And next time you're going to be waiting for your grades, and you don't care, and productivity will decrease. So that's why you take the fourth greatest nation in the Western Hemisphere, Venezuela, that was exporting oil, and it was an unbelievable nation to live in. And today, with socialism, they're eating their zoo animals.
It says in Jeremiah to pray for the welfare of your nation and want the welfare of your nation, to be engaged and involved. There is no way whatsoever anyone could make the argument that neo-Marxist ideas would be the best thing for our country. Some people make those arguments, but that's their real argument is the three types of equality. And again, if we had 40 minutes, I could go through all of this, but that's why we do two podcasts today and 2 hours of radio a day to go into it. There's three types of equality. There's one that is absolutely necessary. There's one that's desirable and one that is evil. And that we interchange them all the time. And one of the big problems we have in politics today is everyone's talking about different terms at every single time, and things sound good, feel good. They might not mean good, and all of a sudden we're voting for things we don't know, we don't understand, and then we see things we don't like. Okay, so equality under the law, absolutely essential, totally moral. This is something that America was founded on. We didn't live up to this founding immediately, but it's a lot more complex than you might actually, we might actually teach our kids, which is Vermont abolished slavery in 1777. In the United States Constitution was an import ban of slaves into the United States. There were no new slaves in the Northwest Territories. But anyway, equality under the law, meaning that in our system, regardless of skin color, regardless of where you come from, that there is no law that one person of one skin color cannot do, or one person of culture or language. Equality under law is essential. Absolutely. Civil Rights Act was the moral pursuit of continuing to do that in the 1960s. Okay, equality of opportunity is desirable. It's very hard, but I think that we should strive for it. That's why we should want school choice. We should want to improve the literacy rate. We should want to improve the well-being of our public education system and homeschooling in our country. Now, equality of opportunity. I think we miss all of the conversations on equality of opportunity. We talk about stuff. We talk about healthcare. All that stuff's, I think, distraction. You want to make things more equal from an opportunity? Rebuild the American family. It's that simple. Get fatherlessness in half. A lot of these conversations that happen in our country are just downstream from the broken family. The family is the most proven, the most effective way to fight against poverty, get one generation to get richer, get wealthier, happier, least likely to fall into poverty, fall into prison. And you see socioeconomic groups in America with the highest fatherlessness have the highest levels then of crime, poverty, so on and so forth. So how do we actually rebuild the American family? Number one, we got to tell men to start taking responsibility for their actions. It's that simple. Number two, we have to stop subsidizing single motherhood in this country. We do it in a variety of different ways. We do it in Section 3 housing. We do it in government-sponsored welfare. I could go into this indefinitely, but that's one of the major reasons that is one of the biggest pushers. Then finally, there's equality of outcome. Sounds good. Awful idea. No one should ever want equality of outcome. It's unbiblical. It's against the Matthew principle. It's impossible. It's immoral. It's utopian in nature. And it's something that we should never engage in. Here's why. Every single person in this room, if I gave you $50, would do something different within 24 hours. Some would invest it. Some would save it. Some would pour into it. We know this in the parable of the talents. Jesus taught us very clearly that when you are given something, everyone will treat it differently, and the person who multiplies it will be rewarded most faithfully and most generously. Equality of outcome is you inserting yourself into somebody else's actions and taking it from them and saying, I don't care that you worked hard, had a good idea, sacrificed, or you went ahead. Now, equality of outcome is very, very dangerous, because then all of a sudden you start to throw rocks at the top of the building instead of wanting to fix the elevator. So those are the three types of equality. I could get into critical race theory and all that, but I think we're almost running out of time. So we'll take one more question. So,
how much time do we have, Jen?
Five minutes. Okay.
Yeah, let's do one more question.
Yeah, if you had an hour, I could do critical race theory, but that's...
It's really good. Can you do it in 5 minutes?
I mean, look, critical race theory.
This is so important right now, and nobody's articulated better than Charlie.
So critical race theory is really what BLM Incorporated is. It's what they're espousing. Critical race theory started in the 1960s by a thinker from the Frankfurt School by the name of Herbert Marcuse. And there's five big attributes of critical race theory, all five of which are directly against the teachings of the Bible. Number one, they think melanin matters. They think your skin color actually matters. I don't. I think your skin color is irrelevant.
I don't care about your skin color. I care about your character. I don't care. It's completely and totally irrelevant. Immutable. Yeah, your immutable characteristics should not define you. We should not judge people based on that. We broke away from that. We made good and real progress from that. And now there's a movement to regress us back into judging people based on the color of their skin. That's number one. Number two, it's a belief that racism is everywhere. It's in the air. You turn over a rock, there's racism. Every person, whether they know it or not know it, conscious and unconscious, they're exhibiting some form of racism. It's in the bones of our superstructure. This is complete and total nonsense. And I could prove it to you. I could prove it to you. If America was absolutely racist down to the core, why is it that Nigerian Americans are the richest, wealthiest immigrant group in America over the last 20 years? Nigerian Americans are black. It's because Nigerian Americans do three things really, really well. They value education, they stay loyally married, and they also have the highest business startups per capita of any immigrant group in the country. If America was so rotten to the core, why is it that 3 million black Americans since 1980 have legally immigrated to this country? 1 million from the Caribbean, 2 million from Africa. I'm not doubting that there's people out there. And by the way, if there's anyone in this audience that harbors racial prejudice or has racism, you got work to do. You got people to apologize for. You got a God to atone to. You got to ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. I mean that. However, if that is not you, then you don't have anything to apologize for based on the color of your skin. This group guilt apology based on tribal group is anti-biblical. It ruins and completely interrupts the vertical relationship that we need with Jesus Christ, and it categorizes people based on just your skin color. What a lazy, sloppy way to judge people, right? I mean, how about a little bit of nuance? How about believing that people can have different beliefs, different worldviews, different values? Okay, that's number two. Number three, it's totalitarian in nature. If you don't post the black square, you're a bad person. It's white silence is violence. You guys have heard this? That all of a sudden that if you don't speak out, we're going to judge you. It's not enough that if you say the opposite, it's that if you don't put the sign in your store window, if you don't say this, then all of a sudden we're going to come after you. There's like five or six other attributes, but the fourth I'll say is this, which is the most important, and we'll close with this, is that they do not want dialogue or speech. It's the most important part of it. Aristotle said we are the speaking beings. Believe it or not, I can organize every single government in the history of the planet in two buckets. One bucket is those that require persuasion and speaking to get power. The other bucket is those that use force to get power. It's that simple. So for example, in order for us to elect a new governor, you have to have good arguments and you have to be on the right side of it and convince people. It's not who has the most amount of standing militia members. You have to convince people. What does that take? It takes speech. We take this for granted. It takes tough conversations. It takes discourse. It takes a dialectic. They don't want that. Instead, they believe that speech is an expression of a cisonormative, phallologocentric Western construct. If that stuff goes over your head, you're like, I don't understand. It's okay. It's a bunch of rubbish, okay? By the way, that's kind of like the fifth thing, is that if you think you're like, none of this stuff makes any sense. Am I stupid? No, they are. Don't worry, okay? Like, it's designed to make you feel like you're missing something and you're actually not.
Thanks again for listening, everybody. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. We got one day, everybody. Do something about it. Thanks so much. God bless.